doesn't.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news.
The way I understand it, this person came into your home and stole all of your radios.
Every radio I had to my name.
Including transistors?
Yes. Well, he left me one earplug, I'll say that for him.
Well, did he take anything else?
Just the radios, and a couple of pieces of fruit.
I see. Well, what...
A banana and two Kadota figs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deny him the fruit.
No. Are you and your husband going to replace the radios?
Well, we'll have to. Arthur is late for work because he has no radio to keep reminding him of the time and traffic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to keep me company while I work around the house.
I can imagine.
We have a 10-room house. We had a radio in every room.
Then he stole all 10 radios?
11.
11.
He also stole the car.
Who listens to radio? Only 150 million people. That's all.
That was one of the six promotional recordings that Stan Freberg made with Sarah Vaughan and Quincy Jones in the 1960s. Stan Freberg died April 7th, 2015. An American author, recording artist, animation voice actor, comedian, radio personality, puppeteer, advertising creative director, who started all that in 1944 and remained active for 70 years. The Stan Freberg Show was a 1957 radio replacement for Jack Benny on CBS Radio, and is also known for his television work on Bob Clampett's puppet series Time for Beanie. Let's listen to another radio work from Stan Freberg, this from his The Best Bits CD, The Old Paola Roll Blues.
All right, we got the tenor sax, vocal group, piano, drums, and guitar. We're all set to make a hit rock and roll record. Now let's hear it. Hold it, hold it. Something's missing.
A teenage idol, man. You have a teenage idol.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wait here, I'll get one. Hey, kid.
Who, me?
Yeah, can you sing?
No.
Good, come with me. Hey, where were you going just now?
I was on my way to high school.
Perfect. Now you stand up there in front of that microphone and say high school when I point at you. Kid, you're gonna be a big record star.
Uh-oh.
Hey, that's good too. Throw that in. Now here we go.
High school. Ooh, ooh. High school. Ooh, ooh. High school.
Hey, wait a minute. What did you put that on the end for?
Well, it was just a little, you know, embellishment.
Oh, yeah? Well, you keep that up, and the first thing you know, this record will swing. And then where will we be?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, that's the first side.
Isn't that a kind of a short song?
Yeah, it gets more plays that way.
Oh,
Hey, by the way, what's your name?
Clyde Ankle.
Perfect.
But I can't sing.
Well, what's that got to do with anything? You got all the requirements. A pretty face and a pompadour.
Well, do I get to pose beside a tiger?
Nah, that's been done. Maybe we'll get you a moose.
Well, maybe now I can have my adenoids taken out.
What, and ruin your amateur standing?
Well, could you at least get me a date with that mouseketeer that grew up?
All right, we'll see.
Oh, boy.
Now, you're going to go 3 nights a week for finger-snapping lessons.
Ooh, I've wanted to do that as long as I've been in showbiz.
Hey, wait a second. How long you been in showbiz?
About a minute and a half.
Oh. Now, let's see if you can act humble in front of the press.
Okay. Oh, I'll never replace Elvis.
All right.
He's the king.
All right,
boy.
All right. Don't overdo it.
Hey, how can we be sure the girls are going to scream at me?
Ah, don't worry. Will you, kid? I got a screaming machine right here.
Yeah?
It replaces a teenage audience. We put it in the back of the auditorium, push the button, Panicsville. Here, listen. Will you get out of that drummer's lap?
Bent my cymbal, man.
Now, here's some variations.
Emmanuel! Emmanuel! Emmanuel!
Whoops. Oops, wrong crowd. Well, let's do the other side of the record. I'll turn on the machine here and there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you can get, you know, conditioned to it.
Yeah, okay. What am I going to use for words on this side?
Who cares? Say the first thing that comes into your head.
Okay. What are you going to do with that sharp stick?
Oh, never mind what I'm going to do with it. Just sing, will you? Here we go.
When I was on my way to high school,
when a guy came through the door, and he said he's going to make me a big record star. But I can't sing, he says it doesn't matter. He says you've got a pretty face and a pompadour. What's the deal with that stick, man?
Oh, perfect. Stick with me, kid. Clyde Ankle is going to jump up the charts.
Here's if you keep on with that stick, man.
All right.
Well, you really think you can get any disc jockeys to play my songs?
It's getting tougher, but I'm on my way to see one right now on the other side of the record.
Oh, boy.
Right after I stop off at the bank.
The old paler old blues, huh?
What kind of crack is that? That's an insult to my integrity.
Your name is what?
Barney Schlock. I got this little record company.
Uh-huh.
Obscurity Records?
It would be,
Look, I know the probe is on, but I got a record here that's got to happen. High School Ooh-Ooh by Clyde Ankle. How's about it, baby? You want to jump on it?
Crazy. Lay it on the floor.
Lay it on the floor. Hey, that's pretty good. I got to remember that. shall we say 50 clams a week to ride it? Huh? I mean, really ride it?
Man, I wouldn't ride something called High School Ooh-Ooh if it had a vicuna saddle.
Yeah, but...
You got the wrong disc jockey in the wrong station, Clyde.
Barney, look, if it gets in the top 40, you'll have to play it.
Yeah, I'll play that jazz the day Ellis sings the Fats Domino songbook.
Well, I'd like to get your opinion. No. See what you think of it, huh?
No, man.
Let's just listen to a little of it.
Don't let it touch my turntable, man.
Well, wait a minute.
I just had shearing on there, man.
Look, it'll only take a few seconds. Listen.
When I was on my way to high school,
when a guy came through the door,
oh, you didn't hear enough of it.
Too much. I heard too much.
All right, you'll see. The kids will eat it up. They think that's good singing.
Is it?
Well, not really, baby, but don't tell the kids I said so, huh? Us little rock and roll labels got a good thing going. We pay off a few guys in the key cities here, rig a few charts there, bingo, a new hit parade. And that's how rock and roll was born.
Yeah, I'm hip.
Look, kid, if you don't want bread, what do you need? A little dental work? Trip to Vegas?
Forget it.
Pre-1959 cranberries?
You're all heart, Barney.
Heart?
That thing right behind your shoulder holster.
Huh? Oh, yeah. So, you don't want to give high school a ride then, huh?
Only on a rail.
Oh, listen, kid. Payola's the only way a little record artist can get off the ground.
Yeah? Did you ever hear of Talent?
No, who does he record for?
Look, nothing really good ever had to pay to get played. Only junk. The majority of disc jockeys never played ball with you at any price. But that's all over now. You've been benched.
I have?
And not a moment too soon. If your game had gone on much longer, the kids would have forgotten what music sounded like.
I've almost forgotten myself.
Not me. Can I show you to the door?
No, I'll just slide out under it.
That figures.
Don't worry. I'll be glad to get out of the music business.
You know what? You were never in it.
Stanley?
Yeah, Billy?
Has he gone?
Yeah.
I thought he'd never leave, like.
Didn't we all? Here, you want a copy of High School Ooh-Ooh?
Crazy. I'll have it melted down into a little vinylite statue of Conway Twitty.
Why not? You ready, Judd?
Yeah.
Okay, hit it, Billy.
Goodbye, 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 Obscurity Records. Goodbye, 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 you overnight one shot. Hello, music. Hello, swing. Hello, jazz, you beautiful thing.
Oh, hello, 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 hello.
What you gonna do when the...
So long, so long, so long, yeah.
night. So long, Tin Pan Amateur Night.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
Stan Freberg and the Old Payola Roll Blues after the radio personality passed through the airwaves April 7th, 2015. Next up, we head for another fascinating radio conversation, this one with CIA Director John Brennan, recorded April 7th, 2015 at Harvard's JFK Jr. Forum and released on YouTube this week. Current director of the Central Intelligence Agency speaks about the endless war on terror and the surveillance state.
We'll take this question, it'll be the last one, please. Yeah.
My name is Julian, I'm a freshman at the college, and my question is, so we've been fighting the war on terror since 2001. Is there an end in sight, or should we just get used to this new state of existence?
There are less smart students here at Harvard, I've noticed. Yeah. And it's surprising because all these are the students who couldn't get into Fordham, I guess.
No, in spite of the professors, we do our best. So when they get, by the time they leave, they will be less smart.
The organizational issue, particularly as it affects the U.S. government, is something that we could talk about all day. And hopefully there's a course somewhere in Harvard that is looking at this from what we need to do in the national security environment to adapt some of the practices and policies we have. But just looking at individual organizations, that's what's behind sort of our modernization effort here, because I do think that we need to change and adapt. I had the great opportunity several years ago to help start up what has become the National Counterterrorism Center. I was able to take a blank slate and say, okay, for an organization, what features does it need to be self-sustaining? But also I recognized pretty early on that I couldn't just design something that was going to be an island to itself. It needs to be able to empower and be empowered by the outside environment. And so one of the real challenges for organizations in the government is that there needs to be a system of systems, and the systems reengineering is really daunting, that makes the pieces interoperable in an optimal fashion. And so as we go through our organizational change in CIA, I am very mindful that I'm not doing it just for ourselves, because we're nobody if we're not able to interact effectively with FBI and Homeland Security and military and the NSC and others. So it has to be designed in a way that makes, gives some organizational coherence to CIA, but then recognizes that we need to empower and be empowered by the rest of the environment. I only have control over CIA. And so what I need to do is be thinking about what we need to do to be a more effective organization, but at the same time, our effectiveness is only going to be realized if we're able to interact effectively with the outside. And I do think a lot of the organizational structures, practices of 20th century U.S. government need to be revised and updated. And that systems engineering challenge that is evident within the United States government, it's not just the U.S. government. A lot of governments right now are dealing with it because the technological changes. When I came in the agency, we didn't have personal computers. We didn't. We had typewriters and whiteout. People probably don't even know what whiteout is. It was really valuable back then. Now we have all these capabilities, and it has made our business and our mission much different than it was in the past. I was mentioning earlier today, when there was a coup in Africa in the 1970s or something, usually it was a CIA officer who was writing a cable that would get in to Washington about the coup. Now you have a CNN camera crew going down the road with the coup members. I mean, how does that change what it is that we do? Well, we have to change and adapt. And there's also so much information that is out there. So again, the challenges going forward are different than what it is that we did for the past 68 years, even the past 10 years. So on organizational issues, have to be thinking not just how the various pieces fit together and how you need to design the different portfolios. You need to be taking into account how the environment that you're operating in has changed and is likely to change more and more as you go forward. And that's why this digital environment is the environment that I think a lot of us are going to be operating within. So that is a course that needs to be at the undergraduate and graduate level.
Your next incarnation.
And
this is a question. Is this a long war or forever?
Yeah. It's a long war, unfortunately. But it's been a war that has been in existence for millennia at the same time. The use of violence for political purposes against non-combatants by either a state actor or a subnational group. Terrorism has taken many forms over the years. What is more challenging now is, again, the technology that's available to terrorists, the great devastation that can be created by even a handful of folks, and also mass communication that just proliferates all of this activity and incitement and encouragement. So you have an environment now that's very conducive to that type of propaganda and recruitment efforts, as well as the ability to get materials that are going to kill people. And so this is going to be something we're always going to, I think, have to be vigilant about. There is evil in the world, and some people just want to kill for the sake of killing. That's why when I look at the Daesh people, I mean, it's just the horrendous nature of that violence. These are sociopaths. They're murderers. They're thugs. And that's why there's a big debate about, well, why don't we call it Islamic terrorism? They purport to be Muslims. They are not Muslims. They are murderers. Again, these are individuals that have no standing in the world, and we shouldn't give them the credibility or the legitimacy associated with one of the world's religions. But this is something that, whether it's from this group right now or another group, I think the ability to cause damage and violence and kill will be with us for many years to come. We just have to not kill our way out of this, because that's not going to address it. We need to stop those attacks that are in train, but we also have to address some of these underlying factors and conditions. And I'm not saying that poverty causes somebody to become a terrorist or lack of governance, but they certainly do allow these terrorist organizations to grow, and they take full advantage of those opportunities.
So I'm very sorry to bring this to a conclusion, but I must say it's a terrific honor for us to have the director here today. Let's say thank you very much.
That was current CIA Director John Brennan speaking at Harvard University April 7th. Next up, we hear from John Oliver, whose net neutrality comedy bit on HBO last fall overwhelmed the FCC's computer servers with comments, and in total, 4 million public comments were filed on the net neutrality issue. John Oliver had another radio wave-related interview this week with Edward Snowden, and part of that also went viral. We're going to beep out one word that's important to the comedy bit and leave in the words penis and junk. But John Oliver, interviewing Edward Snowden, made clear that naked pictures one takes on their cell phones may be viewable by Washington officials under current surveillance program.
There's no doubt it is a critical conversation, but is it a conversation that we have the capacity to have? Because it's so complicated, we don't fundamentally understand it.
It is a challenging conversation. I mean, it's difficult for most people to even conceptualize. The problem is the internet is massively complex and so much of it is invisible. Service providers, technicians, engineers, the phone number...
Okay, let me stop you right there, Edward, because this is the whole problem.
Right.
This is the whole problem. I glaze over because it's like the IT guy comes into your office and you go, oh...
In fairness...
Oh, don't teach me anything. I don't want to learn. You smell like canned soup.
It's a real challenge to figure out how do we communicate things that require sort of years and years of technical understanding and compress that into seconds of speech. So I'm sympathetic to the problem there.
But the thing is, everything you did only matters if we have this conversation properly. So let me help you out there. You mentioned in an interview that the NSA was passing around naked photos of people.
Yeah, this is something where it's not actually seen as a big deal in the culture of NSA, because you see naked pictures all of the time.
That terrifies people, because when we ask people about that, this is the response you get.
The government should not be able to look at pictures.
If the government was looking at a picture of Gordon's penis, I definitely feel it would be an invasion of my privacy.
Yes, if the government was looking at pictures of my penis, that would upset me.
They should never, ever, the U.S. government have a picture of my
If my husband sent me a picture of his penis and the government could access it, I would want that program to be shut down.
I would want the pic program changed.
I would also want the pic program changed.
I think it would be terrific if the program could change.
I would want it to be tweaked. I would want it to have clear and transparent laws that we knew about and that were communicated to us to understand what they were being used for or why they were being kept.
Do you think that program exists?
I don't. I don't think that program exists at all.
No.
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 If I had knowledge that the U.S. government had a picture of my dick, I would be very pissed off.
Well, the good news is there's no program named the dick program. The bad news is they are still collecting everybody's information, including your dick pics.
What's the over-under on that last guy having sent a dick pic recently? You don't need to guess. I'll show you.
I did take a picture of mine, and I sent it to a girl recently.
But this is the most visible line in the sand for people. Can they see my d-? So with that in mind, look inside that folder. That is a picture of my d-. So let's go through each NSA program and explain to me its capabilities in regards to that photograph of my penis. So, 702 surveillance, can they see my d-?
Yes. The FISA Amendments Act of 2008, which Section 702 falls under, allows the bulk collection of internet communications that are one end foreign.
Bulk collection, now we're talking about my d-. You get it.
It's not what I expect.
You get it, though, right?
I do.
Right, because of... Yeah, because... Yeah, anyway.
So, if you have your email somewhere like Gmail, hosted on a server overseas or transferred overseas, or at any time crosses outside the borders of the United States, your junk ends up in the database.
So it doesn't have to be sending your d- to a German?
No. Even if you send it to somebody within the United States, your wholly domestic communication between you and your wife can go from New York to London and back and get caught up in the database.
Executive Order 12333, d- or no? D-
yes. EO 12333 is what the NSA uses when the other authorities aren't aggressive enough or they're not catching as much as they'd like. For example...
Okay, so how are they going to see my... I'm only concerned about my penis.
When you send your junk through Gmail, for example,
yeah,
that's stored on Google's servers. Google moves data from data center to data center, invisibly to you without your knowledge. Your data could be moved outside the borders of the United States temporarily. When your junk was passed by Gmail, the NSA caught a copy of that.
Prism.
Prism is how they pull your junk out of Google with Google's involvement. All of the different Prism partners, people like Yahoo, Facebook, Google, the government deputizes them to be sort of their little surveillance sheriff.
They're a d- sheriff.
Correct.
Upstream.
Upstream is how they snatch your junk as it transits the internet.
Okay, Mystic.
If you're describing your junk on the phone, yes.
But do they have the content of that junk call or just the duration of it?
They have the content as well, but only for a few countries. If you are on vacation in the Bahamas, yes.
And finally, and you need to remind yourself...
No, I'm just not sure what to do with this. It's a lot of...
Just hold on to it.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it is a lot of responsibility. That's the whole point.
Should I?
No, you should absolutely not. And it's unbelievable that you would do that. Actually, it's entirely believable. 215 metadata.
No.
Good.
But...
come on, Ed.
They can probably tell who you're sharing your junk pictures with because they're seeing who you're texting with, who you're calling.
If you called a penis enlargement center at 3 in the morning and that call lasted 90 minutes.
They would have a record of your phone number calling that phone number, which is a penis enlargement center. They would say they don't know it's a penis enlargement center, but of course they can look it up.
Edward, if the American people understood this, they would be absolutely horrified.
I guess I never thought about putting it in the context of your junk.
Would a good takeaway from this be, until such time as we've sorted all of this out, don't take pictures of your junk. Just don't do it anymore.
No, if we do that, if we...
Wait, hold on. What, you're saying no?
Yeah.
You should keep taking pictures of your
Yes, you shouldn't change your behavior because a government agency somewhere is doing the wrong thing. If we sacrifice our values because we're afraid, we don't care about those values very much.
That is a pretty inspiring answer to the question, hey, why did you just send me a picture of your Because I love America, that's why.
That was John Oliver interviewing Edward Snowden, who leaked government information about the current surveillance state and was there explaining the current surveillance state, the current capabilities of the government, and the fact that the government has access to the naked pictures one may have on their cell phone from HBO's Last Week with John Oliver show, an interview with Edward Snowden. Earlier, we also heard from CIA Director John Brennan and Stan Freberg, radio legend, who passed away this week. This is Tom Rowe with The Week in Radio News from the Radio Wave. Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.